can do these things, but decline to do them. To whom, that ever tried, have these tasks proved false? To what man did they not seem easier in the doing? Our lack of confidence is not the result of difficulty. The difficulty comes from our lack of confidence. If, however, you desire a pattern, take Socrates, a long-suffering old man who was sea-tossed amid every hardship, and yet was unconquered both by poverty, which his troubles at home made more burdensome, and by toil, including the drudgery of military service. He was much tried at home, whether we think of his wife, a woman of rough manners and shrewish tongue, or of the children, whose intractability showed them to be more like their mother than their father. And, if you consider the facts, he lived either in time of war, or under tyrants, or under a democracy, which is more cruel than wars and tyrants. The war lasted for 27 years. Then the state became the victim of the 30 tyrants, of whom many were his personal enemies. At the last came that climax of condemnation under the gravest of charges. They accused him of disturbing the state religion and corrupting the youth, for they declared that he had influenced the youth to defy the gods, to defy the council, and to defy the state in general. Next came the prison and the cup of poison. But all these measures changed the soul of Socrates so little that they did not even change his features. What wonderful and rare distinction! He maintained this attitude up to the very end, and no man ever saw Socrates too much elated or too much depressed. Amid all the disturbance of fortune, he was undisturbed. Do you desire another case? Take that of the younger Marcus Cato, with whom fortune dealt in a more hostile and more persistent fashion. But he withstood her on all occasions, and in his last moments at the point of death showed that a brave man can live in spite of fortune, can die in spite of her. His whole life was passed either in civil warfare or under a political regime which was soon to breed civil war. And you may say that he, just as much as Socrates, declared allegiance to liberty in the midst of slavery. Unless, perchance, you think that Pompey, Caesar, and Crassus were the allies of liberty. No one ever saw Cato change, no matter how often the state changed. He kept himself the same in all circumstances, in the praetorship, in defeat, under accusation, in his province, on the platform, in the army, in death. Furthermore, when the Republic was in a crisis of terror, when Caesar was on one side with 10 embattled legions at his call, aided by so many foreign nations, and when Pompey was on the other, satisfied to stand alone against all comers, and when the citizens were leaning towards either Caesar or Pompey, Cato alone established a definite party for the Republic. If you would obtain a mental picture of that period, you may imagine on one side the people and the whole proletariat eager for revolution, on the other the senators and knights, the chosen and honored men of the Commonwealth, and there were left between them but these two, the Republic and Cato. I tell you, you will marvel when you see Atreus' son and Priam and Achilles, wroth at both. Like Achilles, he scorns and disarms each faction, and this is the vote which he casts concerning them both. If Caesar wins, I slay myself. If Pompey, I go into exile. What was there for a man to fear who, whether in defeat or in victory, had assigned to himself a doom which might have been assigned to him by his enemies in their utmost rage? So he died by his own decision. You see that man can endure toil. Cato, on foot, led an army through African deserts. You see that thirst can be endured. He marched over sun-baked hills, dragging the remains of a beaten army and with no train of supplies, undergoing lack of water and wearing a heavy suit of armor, always the last to drink of the few springs which they chanced to find. You see that honor, and dishonor too, can be despised, for they report that on the very day when Cato was defeated at the elections, he played a game of ball. You see also that man can be free from fear of those above him in rank, for Cato attacked Caesar and Pompey simultaneously, at a time when none dared fall foul of the one without endeavoring to oblige the other. You see?